Talking today with Bob Stallman, president of the American Farm Bureau. Bob, no shortage of things to be looking at right now. We had a whole host of commodity groups here at this meeting come together in a little news briefing about TPP and expressing their undying support for it. Farm Bureau's not quite there on issuing a statement, are you?
Well, we're not, because we have an internal process that our policy says we must honor, and that process is basically, you know, look at the details of the text, which was just released, and it's a complicated text, and then do an analysis on the impact on American agriculture by commodity. And while I expect that outcome to be very positive, we won't take an official position by our board until that analysis is complete, which will be about probably three weeks or so. Having said that, we've worked with the negotiators throughout this process. There's some definite gains for American agriculture. It's never perfect. No trade agreement is. But, you know, this one, I think, will further open up markets in a region of the world that's very important for U.S. agriculture, and one that U.S. agriculture can really, you know, get into. And whether you're talking about, you know, our very efficient overall commodity production, whether you're talking about, you know, the specialty crops and fruits and vegetables that are out there, particularly on the West Coast, they're well positioned to gain in this agreement. And, you know, the other issue is there's some of our commodities wanted to maintain their protections, and I think they managed to do that. So, you know, we'll see what the numbers say, but I'm very positive that this is going to be an agreement that's good for U.S. agriculture.
You're anticipating what, maybe a December meeting of your board? You'll look at it seriously?
Yeah, right now the schedule, and, you know, based on the fact that Congress won't take it up till next year anyway, right now we're looking at having that discussion at our December board meeting and giving them all the facts and numbers that we've developed, and then we'll have an official position.
Also in December, you always have your resolutions committee bring in stuff from the grassroots, from the various states. What are you hearing right now? What sort of things you think will be on the minds of folks as they get ready for your 2016 convention?
Well, I always hesitate to predict that. It's about like predicting commodity prices and the weather and a few other things. There's always surprises. The states are just now beginning to go through their process of determining what policies they submit at the national level, and I don't really have a sense. I don't see that there's any huge burning issues out there. I mean, I think we have a continuation of all the issues that are very key to U.S. agriculture, for which we already have pretty good policy. So I expect some tweaking to go on, but, you know, I'm always surprised at our annual meeting every year. Year that, you know, something pops up that I wasn't expecting, and we'll have to see what that is this year.
Alphabet of issues. We've already talked, mentioned TPP, but another one is WOTUS. I guess we're down to hoping for some relief from the courts.
Well, it's a two-pronged strategy still. We're still looking at a legislative solution because that will be the quickest way to resolve that issue. And we've raised the awareness, I think, in the Senate significantly. The resolution of disapproval was passed. We didn't get enough votes to, you know, turn back the rule and tell EPA to start over again. But, you know, we're really going to – the resolution of disapproval and the other vote allowed us to – see which senators, you know, really would vote one way or the other. You know, they had to put their name on the line. Mm-hmm. And so now we know which senators to work on. We still think there's an opportunity in an omnibus or some other must-pass piece of legislation to put a rider on that tells EPA to trash this rule and start over. Having said that, we're going to continue very aggressive litigation efforts. We've been somewhat successful there. We got the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals to say, yeah, you guys may prevail on your arguments. We're going to put a temporary injunction in place. Now, that can be lifted at any point in time. Right. And when it's lifted, we revert back to the law when the rule was put into force at the end of August, which, you know, really leaves farmers and ranchers in a lot of limbo if that happens.
Along those same lines, kind of a parallel situation, EPA moving forward with this case based on Chesapeake Bay. I know Farm Bureau and some other groups have weighed in, urging the courts to basically tell EPA no.
Yeah, we, along with other groups, are asking the Supreme Court to take this case up. The Circuit Court ruled against our position. You know, this is, once again, we believe, just another effort by EPA to expand their scope of authority beyond that which was legitimate under the Clean Water Act legislation, beyond what Congress ever intended. And so, you know, that's another case, once again, that we'll probably, we hope we'll see the Supreme Court, and hopefully they'll take action on it, because these are fundamental issues. You know, what is the scope of authority, and where does the federal government's role lie versus state? And it was very clear in the Clean Water Act when it was passed that Congress intended the states to take a primary role in this. EPA is trying to usurp that authority, we believe, but we need the courts to rule on that.
several fundamental issues are out there right now, you know, as far as some of the pieces of legislation, some of the policies that the Obama administration seems to be tackling, wanting to take away rights.
We believe that they want more control. We believe that this administration and the EPA under this administration wants more control over day-to-day activities of property owners, and not just farmers and ranchers, but other property owners across this country. And we believe we have to try to rein in that, you know, excessive mindset that allows the U.S. government to come in and tell property owners what to do.
You've made known that you're not running for re-election here in 2016, January. You've had multiple terms as president of the American Farm Bureau, nation's largest general farm organization. That's put you in a real key role for American agriculture and all the policy making that we've talked about. Reflect with me about what this has meant to you and how you feel you're leaving the ship.
Well, if someone would have told me 30 years ago when I was a rubber boot wearing, a shovel carrying young rice farmer out there in the mud and fighting the mosquitoes that I would ever have had an office overlooking our nation's capital and be working at the level I am, I would have told them they were crazy. But things happen, and this has been a fantastic 16 years serving as president of this organization. First, it's a great organization. Secondly, our members are fantastic, and the opportunity to work with them across this country has been phenomenal. And also the experience in working with elected leaders and appointed leaders, I mean, up to heads of state. And it's been an incredible experience. I think we've done some good things. The organization is positioned well to move forward. We have leaders willing to step up and take this position. So I think the time is right to step down and let somebody else take the reins.
Maybe a good example of heads of state. Recently, you were positioned right next to the president during a round table of discussion. Even the Democratic administration recognizing what Farm Bureau is about.
Well, I've actually, some friends back home have commented on that, I might add, but the truth is that was a session about agriculture's position and influence with respect to TPP and trade, very important for U.S. agriculture, and I tell people, we as an organization, American Farm Bureau, works with whoever gets elected. We have to. You know, we work on policy. We try to stay out of the politics. You know, the political dynamics in this country I don't think are really good. But we have to continue to work on policies. In this case, we're working with the administration to try to pass TPP. So, you know, it's just another example of what we do.
Over your 16 years, one other question as far as it seems like maybe there's a few more young people involved in some of the activities of Farm Bureau and some of other farm groups than we had maybe a decade ago. Are you seeing that?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of excitement and energy from young farmers and ranchers. Every year when I go to our National Young Farmer and Rancher Conference, and there's over 1,000 young farmers and ranchers there, all the energy is just incredible. I love it. For all those people that are the whiners and the moaners, and all farmers are getting 58 years old average, and we're not going to have anybody to take over, that's nonsense. We've got a great bunch of young people that are willing to step up and do things. And many of them are doing things in non-traditional ways. They're looking for specific markets, looking for different ways to interact with consumers, which I think is fantastic. You know, they're not going to come up. A lot of them aren't going to come up like I did into a family operation. But the innovation and the attitudes and the energy of these young farmers and ranchers, U.S. agriculture is going to be fine.